الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Continuing with Sharh Usul al-Iman, we have been dealing lastly with the idea of Qadr and what is the belief system of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah about this particular issue, because we said that there are a number of deviant sects that have went away from mainstream Islam, particularly in understanding the idea of preordainment, right? And the Shaykh will elaborate on them and give us some examples soon. We were dealing actually with the seven different ways where we can prove that logically, you know, there's no negation between Qadr and free will. The seventh one, before the seventh actually, the last of the six, we said, the Shaykh said, وَمِثَالٌ آخَرٌ نَرَى الْمَرِيضُ يُؤْمَرُ بِالدَّوَاءِ فَيَشْرَبُهُ وَنَفْسُهُ لَا تَشْتَهِيهِ وينهى عن الطعام الذي يضره فيتركه ونفسه تشتهيه كل ذلك طلبا للشفاء والسلامه ولا يمكن ان يمتنع عن شرب الدواء او ياكل الطعام الذي يضره ويحتج بالقدر فلماذا يترك الانسان ما امر الله ورسوله او يفعل ما نهى الله ورسوله ثم يحتج بالقدر. الشيخ said, another example is, you see the ill person, someone who's sick, he's the doctor gave him the prescription that he should take some medicine, and he drinks this medicine although he's not really doing it willingly, because the medicine may taste foul. He does it, it's not suitable for him, the taste, but he will take this medicine. On the other hand, you will see that the doctor may tell him, okay, maybe you have diabetes or something, you shouldn't eat this kind of food because it has a lot of sugar. And he will refrain from eating this particular food, although his self yearns towards it. He wants to eat this food because it's desirable to his heart. But he will leave it alone. Why all this seeking? Help, and be in a state of security. And he will not, it is not possible that he will stop drinking the medicine, or he will eat that food that harms him, and then he will say, well, it's the qadr of Allah. Yeah, I didn't take the medicine and I'm going to eat the food. This is the qadr of Allah. This is by the qadr of Allah. So he said, so how does a person abandon what Allah and His Messenger commanded, or he does what Allah and His Messenger forbade, and then he uses the decree as a pretext, yani as an excuse to justify his violation? It doesn't make sense. السابع أن المحتج بالقدر على ما ترك من الواجبات أو فعله من المعاصي لو اعتدى عليه شخص فأخذ ماله أو انتهك حرمته ثم احتج بالقدر وقال لا تلومني فإن اعتدائي كان بقدر الله لم يقبل حجته. He said, seventhly, if the person who uses the preordainment as a pretext, as an excuse to justify his violation, if for leaving alone the obligatory actions in Islam, he said, if someone was to attack him, someone comes and he attacks him, he steals his money, right, and he violates his rights, then this person tells him, well, this is by the decree of Allah, I did this to you, why are you mad, why are you upset with me, this is the qadr of Allah, by the qadr of Allah I stole your money and I violated your right. He said he will not accept that. He will not accept this as an excuse that you did this by the qadr of Allah. He says, فَكَيْفَ لَا يَقْبَ الْإِحْتِجَاجُ بِالْقَدْرِ فِي اعْتِدَاءِ غَيْرِهِ عَلَيْهِ وَيَحْتَجُ بِهِ لِنَفْسِهِ فِي اعْتِدَاءِ عَلَى حَقِّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So how does he not accept that someone will give him that as an excuse, yet he makes it an excuse himself by violating Allah's rights? And he says, well, I did it by the qadr of Allah. Don't blame me, Akhi, for the sins I do. Allah decreed that I will become, or I will be a sinful individual. This is their frame of mind. Allah decreed that I am a sinful person. Why are you upset with me for sinning? See? So they say, if somebody was to steal money from you, and he would tell you, well, it's the decree of Allah that I'm going to steal your money, you're not going to accept that. So if you don't accept that with someone doing this to you, then how do you accept that while violating the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Sheikh said, وَيُذْكَرُ أَنَّ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عُمَرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ رُفِعَ إِلَيْهِ سَارِقٌ اسْتَحَقَّ الْقَطْعَ فَأَمَرَ بِقَطْعِ يَدِهِ فَقَالَ مَهْلًا يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِنَّمَا سَرَقْتُ بِقَدَرِ اللَّهِ فَقَالَ عُمَرُ وَنَحْنُ إِنَّمَا نَقْطَعُ بِقَدَرِ اللَّهِ. He said, it was narrated that a man was brought to Amir al-Mu'mineen, يعني the leader of the believers, the prince of the believers, رضي الله عنه, عمر بن الخطاب. And that person, it was the penal code against him was the cutting of the hand, because it was rightfully due. Of course, you know, cutting the hand for theft is not as many people understand. I don't know if you've received any email that circulates quite often. A young boy, usually they say it's in Persia, a young boy stole like an apple from some whatever store, and then they show this young boy with his hand, you know, under some truck, and you know, some men are holding him, and the truck is supposedly running him over to cut off his hand, you know, and you see some Hebrew by the Jews saying, this is Islam, this is Islam. And then they say at the bottom of the email, forward this to everybody in the world so they can see what Islam is about. So they get an image of a boy, little boy, maybe as young as these kids, stealing an apple, okay, and not there cutting, they're putting his hand under an 18-wheeler, big old truck, and they have him there, you know, it's the funniest thing, and they try to claim that this is what Islam teaches. Obviously, there are conditions for someone's hand to be cut off before, you know, you go. It has to be a person who is valid, someone who's of age, not a young boy. The amount of what he steals should be worthy, not any insignificant amount. It should be something valuable. Furthermore, it should be hidden. Yeah, and if you leave a watch over here, and someone comes and takes it, this is not considered, he will not get his hand cut off. He still stole it, but it's not. Stealing is only if the hand is cut off when a person goes into your house, opens up things that are supposed to be closed, and robs you in this fashion. So if you go to the books of fiqh, there are many conditions and prerequisites before someone's hand is cut off, not as they try to make it seem. In this case, this person deserved his hand to be cut off, he deserved it. So he said, wait, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, you know, cut off his hand. He said, wait, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. Verily, I only stole by the qadr of Allah. And Umar said, and verily, we will also cut your hand by the qadr of Allah. So he gave him, you know, a little bit of his own medicine. You stole by the qadr of Allah, and we will cut your hand by the qadr of Allah. So basically telling him that's not an excuse. And the man thought he was smart, huh? Didn't work with Umar radiallahu anhu, who was an intelligent brother. طيب, now this was the reputation for those who say that they use qadr as an excuse for violating the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh gave seven different logical, you know, reasons to prove that this could never be the case. Now what do we benefit from iman and qadr? وَالْإِيمَانُ بِالْقَدْرِ وَلِلْإِيمَانِ بِالْقَدْرِ ثَمَرَاتٍ جَلِيلَ مِنْهَا الأولى الاعتماد على الله تعالى عند فعل الأسباب بحيث لا يعتمد على السبب نفسه لأن كل شيء بقدر الله تعالى. The benefits, the practical benefits that we deduce from our belief in preordainment or predestination. The first is depending on Allah while utilizing the reasons. So you will not be attached to the reason itself, because you know that everything is by the qadr of Allah. And this is very sensitive subject matter, because people usually are on one of two extremes. Either those who do tawakkul on Allah to such an extent where they actually go against what they are expected to do. So you find a brother sitting in a masjid, you know, he doesn't get a job, and you say, you know, Akhi, you know, you need to make some money. He says, I'm doing tawakkul, ya Akhi. I have tawakkul, Allah will provide me. But you need to work. The other extreme is that they depend on the reasons. I did this, I didn't get what I wanted. So they are negligent of depending on Allah, and they focus only on the worldly reasons. And both are wrong. What we are supposed to do is balance. We utilize the means, whatever Allah gives us. You want to get money, you must go look for a job. Fill in applications, submit them at different businesses. You know, speak to brothers, you know, actually I'm looking for a job. You know anyone who's hiring? You utilize the means while depending on Allah. Not on the brother, not on the application, not on your knowledge. Rather, you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring about this particular job. But you don't not do anything, and you don't simply depend on the creation. So this is what tawakkul, real tawakkul is. based on the Quranic verses and the prophetic traditions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we understand this qadar issue, then we will no longer be stuck on the reasons. We will also understand that everything will happen by the decree of Allah, so there's no overemphasis on the reasons. الثانية ألا يعجب المرء بنفسه عند حصول مراده لأن حصوله نعمة من الله تعالى بما قدره من أسباب الخير والنجاح وإعجابه بنفسه ينسيه شكر هذه النعمة. Secondly, a person does not admire himself. You know, you feel extra positive about yourself whenever you attain your objective. Okay, you get what you want, and so you say, "MashaAllah, I'm a big shot. I'm someone special." Because really, whatever you got is a bounty from Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Whatever you have, anything that you have, every single thing actually that we have is from Allah. So when someone does something that requires praise, to praise him, really you should praise Allah, not the person. Because the Prophet ﷺ warned us from those who will come and praise you in your face. When a man started praising another one, he said, "You broke your brother's back." He said, "If these people come around, throw dirt in their face, because he will ruin you." Oh, akhi, mashallah, tabarakallah, brother, mashallah, mashallah, until you think that you're some big shot. And you may be nothing. You see? So this brother is not helping you. He's actually making things difficult for you by letting you become conceited, where you think too much of yourself and you're no one. So the sunnah then is that you don't do this to someone, unless there are exceptions to the rules. If the person is down or you're trying to make him firm, but there's also limits. Either way, the one who deserves praise is Allah, because that person's success is by Allah. And you know, everything that we have is by Allah. So then all praise is due to Allah first and last. So the person doesn't admire himself, because whatever bounty has is from Allah, because of what Allah had predestined from the facilitation and success. And then you admiring yourself or self-conceitedness may make you forget about being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't be focused on thanking Allah for what He has given you, you admire yourself. So whenever you say something or you do something that you think was good, you should remember that it is Allah who allowed you to do that by His decree. Otherwise, your thumb would have been tight. Can't say nothing. You may want to give da'wah, right? You give da'wah, and then for whatever reason, let's say you were successful in the da'wah. By the grace of Allah, you give good da'wah, a nice way to explain it to a non-Muslim, and he becomes a Muslim. Now, what happens? The shaitan will come and tell you, "Man, you're special. You're a special brother, you know? You're not like everybody else. I've seen another person give da'wah, nothing happened. You give da'wah." The shaitan will try to ruin you by admiring yourself. As soon as you admire yourself, forget about the deen. Once you think you're special, then you're really not special anymore. So this is, you know, it's a very sensitive issue. So rather, you should say, "Alhamdulillah. By the grace of Allah, I spoke. Allah facilitated the speech. Allah allowed me to deliver the information. I'm a helpless creation. If Allah willed, my tongue would have been tied. I wouldn't be able to deliver anything." So we always focus on praising Allah for the bounties, because everything is from Allah. This is part of our belief in qadar. الثالثة الطمأنينة والراحة النفسية بما يجرى عليه من أقدار الله من أقدار الله تعالى فلا يقلق بفوات محبوب أو حصول مكروه. Thirdly, tranquility and the comfort of oneself whenever the decree of Allah comes into existence, in terms of, you know, what we see in this life, someone dying, someone passing away, you becoming sick, you losing your money. In such a way where you are not over concerned when something that you love goes away, and you are not over concerned when something that you want or something that you don't want happens to you. So you're neutral, because everything is by the decree of Allah. لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ بِقَدَرِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ كَائِنٌ لَا مَحَالَةٌ. Because everything is by the decree of Allah who owns the heavens and the earth. And that thing, what Allah had ordained, is going to come into existence without a doubt. No doubt. Inevitably it will come into existence. وَبِذَلِكَ يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Regarding this, Allah the Exalted says, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَلٍ فَخُورٍ. سورة الحديد, verses 22 and 23. Allah Jalla Jalalu says interpretation of the meaning in English, and there isn't a calamity that befalls or happens in the earth or in yourselves, except that it is in a book. And we said this book is what? Al-Lawhul Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. The book which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had everything written in prior to the creation of the heavens and the earth in 50,000 years. Everything in this kitab. من قبل أن نبرأها, before we allow it to come into existence. Verily, this is easy to Allah. Maybe for the creation, you can't keep record with everything that happens. You cannot even keep record with your own actions. If you were to write down at the end of the day what you did in the day, can anyone accumulate what you did? How many times you blinked your eye? Huh? How many times your heart beat? How many times you breathe? Come on. We don't even know how many words we say. If somebody asks you how many words you said today, say, I don't know, maybe 3,000 or 4,000, you know? I can't keep track. Although the righteous predecessors used to count how many words they would say from one week to another. If you ask your brother how many words you said from last Friday to this Friday, he will tell you maybe around 85. And he will tell you, I said this, that, you know, I enjoyed the good, forbid the evil, remembered Allah, recited the Quran, that's it, nothing else. You know, we're not really like that anymore. Anyways, so everything has been decreed by Allah, written by Allah, and this is easy to Allah. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Why? Allah tells us, so you may not grieve over that which you fail to get. You will not feel that. You try to get something, you don't get it, alhamdulillah. And you will not be happy or content with that which will come to you from Allah. Verily, Allah does not love every arrogant boaster, the person who is arrogant, conceited, and things of this nature. So you become neutral. Everything is by the qadr of Allah. Then you are firm when these occasions or these incidents take place in your life. طيب. And this is supported by the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim. وَيَقُولُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلُّهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ ذَاكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءٌ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءٌ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, amazing is the affair of the believer. All his affair is good, and this is only for the believer. If something good happens to him, he is thankful to Allah, and this is good for him. And if something evil, something a calamity befalls upon him, he is patient, and this is also good for him. And this is for no one but the believer. This is for no one but the believer. Did this believer, something happens, bad happens to him, he'll commit suicide. He'll go kill himself, hang himself in a rope. You know, you hear these stories every day. A believer doesn't do this. Even if you lost everybody, God forbid, you know, you lose your whole family and all of your money and all of your house, you come to the masjid the next day to do the salah and say, Allah musta'an. Maybe Allah will reward me for that. Maybe I will be permitted to Jannah for that. You will have good assumption about Allah. A believer, only for the believer that. The disbeliever, he will be traumatized. So what happened to me? He will go crazy. Let me send him to the mental hospital. طيب. Now here is the sensitive subject matter. وَقَدْ ضَلَّ فِي الْقَدْرِ طَائِفَتَانِ. Two groups have deviated regarding this understanding. And these people are not anonymous, and they're not fictional. These are among the Muslims. But because we don't discuss knowledge anymore, you may not know that these people exist. But these people exist. أحدهما أو إحداهما الجبرية الذين قالوا إن العبد مجبر على عمله وليس له فيه إرادة ولا قدرة. The first group, Al-Jabariyya. Al-Jabariyya comes from the word Jabr. And Jabr is like compulsion, being compulsed, being forced, compelled to do something that you don't want to do. This group of people, the leader, his name was Al-Jahm bin Safwan. Al-Jahm bin Safwan. He is the one who created this particular idea, and then people accepted it, and it spread among the Muslims. Otherwise it wasn't available in the early generation of Muslims. His understanding of things is as follows. They say, you are forced to do everything that you're doing. You are compelled. Meaning, brother, when you came to the masjid tonight to pray Isha, you had no choice. You had no power and no will whatsoever. Allah had forced you to come over here to the masjid because Allah decreed it in this fashion. You had absolutely no say, no option, no will whatsoever. Jabariya majbur, yani you are forced. You are compelled to do everything that you're doing. You have no will. That's dangerous. والثانية, the other extreme, القدرية الذين قالوا إن العبد مستقل بعمله في الإرادة والقدرة وليس لمشيئة الله تعالى وقدرته فيه أثر. The other extreme are the قدرية. Those what they call them is the predestination. Their understanding is that everything, whatever you do, is independent of the decree of Allah. They say the servant is independent in his actions. Okay? Meaning you have your own will, you have your own qudra, and the will and the qudra of Allah are irrelevant. They're not related. Meaning whatever you do is based on your own will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not will it for you to do it. Allah's will is not involved. Neither Allah's ability. So they actually wind up falling into what they say, they became creators with Allah. Because we said earlier in the other verse in Surah As-Saffat, Ibrahim, what did he tell his people? وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Right? Allah created you and that which you do, or that which you make. So he made al-amal, the actions, part of the creation of Allah. These people are saying that you create your own deeds. It is not the creation of Allah. So now they made equals with Allah in terms of creation. This is why in the hadith of in Abi Dawood, and it was authenticated by some of the scholars of hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that Al-Qadariya, they are the Majus of this ummah. He said, if one of them dies, if one of them becomes ill, don't visit him. And if one of them dies, don't attend his funeral. And the Prophet ﷺ declared him outside of Islam because of this dangerous understanding of this. That, you know, Allah's will, Allah's ability is irrelevant to what we do. We are totally independent from the will of Allah. And this is another extreme. طيب, the Shaykh will refute both. وَالرَّدُّ عَلَى الطَّائِفَةِ الْأُولَى الْجَبَرِيَّةِ بِالشَّرْعِ وَالْوَاقِعِ. We will to refute, to answer the Jabariya, those who say that you're compelled to do your actions, we will use both legal evidences and intellect, reality, common sense. أَمَّا الشَّرْعِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى أَثْبَتَ لِلْعَبْدِ إِرَادَةً وَمَشِيئَةً. As for the shari', we said shari' is what, the akhwan? The law, right? Shari' is the divine law. Allah has confirmed for the slave both a will and ability. وَأَضَافَ الْعَمَلْ إِلَيْهِ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. And Allah referred that deed to the son of Adam. مِنْكُمْ مَا يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَا يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Allah says in the Qur'an, in Surah, the Shaykh didn't mention the Surah. Allahumma musta'an. Anyways, I'll find it for you, inshallah. There are other verses. Amongst you are those who want the dunya, and amongst you are those who want the hereafter. So Allah gave them the will. You want? If they were compelled, would this verse make sense? It would be pointless, because then Allah attributed the will to the son of Adam, and they're saying that this is not the case. It's not the case. You are forced to do what you're doing. Another ayah in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 29, وَقُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا عَتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. Allah says, and say, this is the truth from your Lord. So whosoever wills, let him believe. And whosoever wills, let him disbelieve. Really, we have prepared for the wrongdoers a fire which they will be surrounded by its walls. The idea is Allah gave us the free will. Whoever wants to believe, may believe. Whoever wants to disbelieve, may also disbelieve. He will be held accountable for that. But didn't Allah give him the will for the verse in the Quran? He did. So how are you going to turn around and say, you don't have a will? When Allah says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. Whosoever wills, let him believe. Subhanallah, يعني negating the clear teachings of the Quran. And this is the problem of deviating from the right path. وأما الواقع, and one more ayah in Surah Fussilat, verse 46. Allah says, من عمل صالحا فلنفسه ومن أساء فعليها وما ربك بظلام للعبيد. Whoever does righteousness, it is for his own good. And whoever does evil, that is against his own self. And Allah does not oppress his creation. وأما الواقع فأن كل إنسان يعلم الفرق بين أفعاله الاختيارية التي يفعلها بإرادته كالأكل والشرب والبيع والشراء. He says, as for the reality, the fact, each human being He knows the distinction and the difference between your the choice, your actions that you do by choice, such as eating, drinking, buying, selling. You do this willingly. وَبَيْنَمَا يَقَعُ عَلَيْهِ بِغَيْرِ إِرَادَتِهِ كَالْإِرْتِعَاشِ مِنَ الْحُمَّى وَالسُّقُوطِ مِنَ الصَّفْحِ. And you make a distinction between the other things that happen to you, such as the shaking due to having a fever, or falling from the roof, assuming that one falls from the roof. فَهُوَ فِي الْأَوَّلْ فَاعِلٌ مُخْتَارٌ بِإِرَادَتِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِ جَبْرٍ. The first one, eating, drinking, buying, selling, you do it willingly. You don't feel anyone compelling you to do that. وفي الثاني غير مختار ولا مريد لما وقع عليه. Well, the second one, you didn't make a choice in that. Neither do you want that to happen to you. So we are making a distinction between the two. There are things that Allah gave you the free will. You want to eat, you may eat. You want to drink, you may drink. But if you want to, if you're going to fall from the roof, you may not have a choice in that one. That has been decreed by Allah. But in other affairs, you have a free will. So this is one intellectually how we can answer that. ورد على الطائفة الثانية القدرية بالشرع والعقل. Now we go refute the other group, the Qadariya, those who claim that everything, was there's no decree of Allah involved. فإن الله تعالى خالق كل شيء وكل شيء كائن بمشيئته. Allah سبحانه وتعالى is the creator of everything, and everything comes into existence by the will of Allah. وقد بين الله تعالى في كتابه أن أفعال العباد تقع بمشيئته. And Allah has mentioned in the Quran that the actions of the servant only occur under the will of Allah. قال ولو شاء الله ما اقتتل الذين من بعدهم من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات ولكن اختلفوا فمنهم من آمن ومنهم من كفر ولو شاء الله ما اقتتلوا ولكن الله يفعل ما يريد. Allah عز وجل says in the Quran, interpretation of the meaning in English, and if Allah willed, then the generations that superseded, those who came after, would have not fought against one another after the clear proofs have been presented to them. But they differed amongst each other. So among them were those who believed, and among them were those who disbelieved, and had Allah willed, they would have never fought. But rarely Allah does what He wills. So then Allah says that the actions of qital that happened between these two people was only by the will of Allah. They had the will, and their will is a subcategory of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the right understanding. That you will, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. You do not will unless Allah will. That's what it is. That's really the bottom line. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. And you do not will unless Allah wills first. If Allah willed it, then your will may be working out, or it may not work out. If Allah didn't will it, you have no will. That's just the conclusion. And Allah, this was Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 253. And in Surah Al-Sajda, verse 13, Allah says, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَآتَيْنَا كُلَّ نَفْسٍ هُدَاهَا وَلَكِنْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ مِنِّي لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. And Allah says, and if we had willed, we would have given each soul its due guidance. Every human being would have been guided. But the word from me, the word of truth, shall come to effect. Which is what? That regarding the evildoers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would fill Jahannam from both al-jinnah, from the jinn, and from the human beings altogether. And this is for who? For the evildoers, who will earn Jahannam, wa'iyadu billah. As for those who don't, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish anyone oppressively. وأما العقل فإن الكون كله مملوك لله تعالى والإنسان من هذا الكون فهو مملوك لله تعالى ولا يمكن للمملوك أن يتصرف في ملك المالك إلا بإذنه ومشيئته. As intellectually, the whole universe is the property of Allah, belongs to Allah. And you, the son of Adam, you are one of those who belong to Allah because you're part of this universe. So it is not possible for the one who is possessed, the one who is owned, the possessed, to have any authority with the property unless the owner gives him the permission first. You are in the universe, you're part of the universe of Allah. You cannot change anything unless the owner allows you to change that. And this is, how we refute that intellectually. We're one page away from concluding this particular book. And I had intended, inshallah, to do this next week for valid reasons, because I wanted to do something else as well. So next week, inshallah, we'll be concluding this particular book, and we'll be having a little competition or a contest. What I advise that everybody does some revision, for those of you who took notes. And for those of you who have notes in their brain, then also try to, you know, scan through them as much as you can, because basically the surprise was that this book is available in English. And many of the brothers do not know that, because of course you would want to have the book in English so you could, you know, keep up with the dars. But I intentionally wanted to hide this information from you, so nobody would depend on the book. Because once you have a book, you depend on the book. You just come and listen, you may fall asleep, and I don't want anybody to do that. So I left it as a secret, where everybody, those who want to take notes, will take notes, thinking there's no book in English. But the book is available in English, and I have around 10 copies of it. So next week, inshallah, I'll be posing some questions, and whoever gives us the right answer, he will just win the book. And he will have a version of the book in English. That was a surprise I was talking about. Maybe you thought I was going to give you a Mercedes or something. You know, think again. Because I'm not, you know, I'm not going to give you any cars over here. The best you'll get is a book from me. But I also wanted to consult you regarding the book which we will be dealing with next, inshallah. I wanted to suggest a book that I believe that will be very interesting for all of us and very important. And then you could raise your hand if you agree, or you, if you disagree, you don't have to raise your hand. If you agree, you may raise your hand. The book that I suggest that we will do, inshallah, once this is over, which will be the next following, the one after, is the Arba'een al-Nawawiyyah, the 40 hadith. Actually, there are 42 narrations in the book of Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. Everybody's familiar with the book, but with the sharh, with the explanation. And that explanation is very, very detailed. Meaning, if we do the first hadith, for example, the hadith of niyyah, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, the shaykh will give such a detailed explanation, along with so many examples, that inshallah, by the time you're done with this hadith, you will have firm understanding of the whole aspect of niyyah in Islam. يعني, you will leave this hadith with a total understanding of what niyyah is. Because the niyyah is a very detailed subject matter. There's a niyyah between ibadah and adah, between the habit and the act of worship, and then there's niyyah within the ibadah, within the act of worship. So all these things we may not be aware of. The explanation is very interesting. I thought it would be good so you will not be bored, where we'll be dealing with the same, you know, redundant information. The narrations are different, dealing with the Iman and Islam and Ihsan, the Niyat, the human embryo and the stages, character, adab, different things. So whoever is for that book, which is a long book inshallah, it may take us years if we all remain alive to finish the book, but nonetheless, if you are for the 40 Nawawi, raise your hand. What about you? You were not paying attention, were you, huh? What's the name of the book? Yeah, I caught you, man. I should have let you go. Okay, those who didn't raise their hand, do you want to suggest anything else? Honestly, those who are not for the book, do you have any other books that you had in mind? Because I told you, you think about some books. If nobody has any suggestions, we'll just go for the 40 Nawawi, inshallah. Any suggestions? You have one.
Sheikh Yasir has completed this book.
Oh, in Urdu? Yeah. Oh, that's a very interesting point.
Take some other.
Oh no, yeah, we must. Otherwise, you've done this book with the Sharh of Sharh al-Abaydin?
Sheikh Yasir. No. He read the 40 Nawawi,
yeah,
the Urdu, he explained it.
Yeah, so I'm saying there's different kinds of explanations. You could read the hadith translated to Urdu, for example, and then mention some points, you know what I'm saying? And then there's the sharh, which is basically taking it word for word and elaborating on it with the striking examples. If this was the case, then we will leave it alone, because I'm concerned about you. I don't know. Okay, from those who attended the durus with the Sheikh Yasir in Urdu, raise your hand. For the same book.
Not complete.
Not complete.
Huh?
4 years. 4 years, yes, I figured. So, you know, only five brothers attended the ones in Urdu.
Better to have the same.
Yeah.
So will that have the same thing?
You will
increase your vocabulary. So you know the Urdu words and the English words and the Arabic words. So maybe it's a win-win situation. I don't know. If you feel otherwise, send your suggestions to oneway2paradise@gmail.com. If you feel otherwise, you have a good book to suggest, and we can present it to the brothers next week, and they agree to it, send your suggestions to oneway2paradise@gmail.com. Tayyip? That's it for tonight.
Okay.
Inshallah, we'll let you go sleep early, and we'll see you in the La'ajawja next week with the competitive contest and the completion of this book, and then the final decision regarding which book we'll be dealing with afterwards, inshallah. جزاكم الله خيرا الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله سبحانه وتعالى وبحمده اشهد ان لا اله الا الله استغفرك واتوب اليك